Alrighty. Hopefully this mic doesn't give me any issues. Fingers crossed. Well, good morning, everybody. I know this time is nice to frolic with everybody else, but gotta take a seat now. All right, already off the rails. My name is Joshua Vachon, and while I'm not part of the preaching team here at Grace, I am part of the youth group, and I have the privilege of sharing the word of God with you this morning. All right, I just need to do a quick prayer. Would you all please join me? Lord, thank you for bringing us all here safely today. I pray that they would not hear my words, but that they would hear your words. I pray that everyone would have a wonderful Sunday, and that you would just lead me to share your will, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now, I'm curious. Does anyone here know what it feels like to wait in pain? Okay, yeah, okay. So, I hear childbirth is quite the painful waiting experience. Now, writing this down, we just read the scripture, right? And it says, they all groaned in their labor pains. Now, I am just now realizing that probably didn't mean childbirth, but probably meant like work, like in the sun. And so that's where that connection came in. I'm sorry about that. So I personally have not had the joy of experiencing it, but I do know what it feels like to wait in pain. Let me share a quick story with you. It was last fall. The last leaves on the trees had fallen, and the air was crisp and cool. Sounds of screams of terror and loud booms surrounded me. I was alone. All my squad mates had taken different positions on the battlefield. I knew I needed to move positions to find my squad, so I ran out into the battlefield and dove for cover, but it was too late. I had gotten shot in the back. I laid there alone, waiting in pain to get revived. I couldn't move or speak. There was nothing I could do besides there, just waiting in pain. Now, this is a true story. Of course, this was a Nerf war, not a real war, but that's besides the point. My point is that when you're in pain, you start to question things. Why me? Why now? God, if you love me, why are you letting me suffer? Thankfully, we are not the first people in history to have these questions. If we turn our attention to the Roman Empire around the time of Paul's third missionary journey, roughly like AD 57, we see that the Roman Christians were suffering from immense persecution and resistance from the Roman government. Rome was the largest unified nation in the world at the time, and at this point we are seeing a major turning point for Christianity. Rome wanted total control of the people. They wanted them to worship false gods, but some of the people wanted the truth Jesus had to offer. There was an issue. Though they wanted this new truth Jesus had to offer, they felt powerless and hopeless. The majority of Rome still wanted false gods. The believers were stuck. On one hand, they could give into Rome and conform to their ways, destroying their own faith. Or they can continue being a Christian, risking being beaten, ridiculed, and even killed. During this period of suffering, they began to have questions. They were starting to wonder if their suffering was really worth it at all. Have you ever felt like this? Maybe you haven't felt persecuted, but have you ever felt up against something so powerful that it doesn't feel worth it to continue? It feels like the extra suffering simply isn't worth it. Much like the time of the Christian Romans, our world is broken too. It tries to pull us away from God. It tries to offer us easier paths, but they don't lead to the kingdom of God. They may offer us temporary relief from our suffering, but those roads are nothing compared to the glory God has for us. This road of present suffering cannot compare to the glory God has for us. You know, I'm not much of a baker. I always thought it was too much work for what you get. But I thought to myself, you know what? You know what? It can't be that hard. I'm going to make cinnamon rolls from scratch. Okay, so here's what we're going for. So I start mixing things up. All right, the recipe calls for a cup and a half of flour. A couple do, that's fine. Yeah, six sticks of butter sounds right. Yeah, that's fine. Oh, I don't need all that salt. That's too much. Mix for 8 minutes. Four sounds fine to me. Rise for 2 hours. I only got 20 minutes, so that'll have to do. I thought I can go the easier route and follow my own judgment for things, and I thought those things would turn out all right. Now, brace yourself here. I don't know about you, but there is nothing that glorious about these cinnamon rolls, okay? So maybe the easier path isn't always the better one. Something to think about here. Oh, skipping ahead of myself here. So we often groan in the face of suffering, which is normal. But look at what our passage says in Romans 8:18, right? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. Now remember who Paul is talking to here, right? He's talking to the beat up, ridiculed, persecuted Christians of Rome. He says that their suffering cannot even compare to the glory God has for them. That's wild. This certainly makes me feel a little better when I think I'm suffering and I want to take the easier path. Now, regardless, suffering is suffering. But it's not all that God has for us. No. God gives us help in our weakness and promises us glory beyond our imagination. Now, when we hear the word glory, what comes to mind? Because depending on the interpretation of this word, we may view things very differently. Do you view glory as winning a game of Monopoly? Conquering an evil nation in the name of the Lord? Perhaps you think of Ryan Gosling's journey to save humanity in Project Hail Mary, a great sci-fi movie, by the way, I might add. little hint. Now, while this passage doesn't paint a super clear picture of exactly what glory is, we do know that when the Bible talks about glory, the glory of God, that is, it is this unimaginable triumph filled with joy, peace, and comfort, devoid of all evil and strife. It talks about glory as the feeling of being in God's presence. Now, just picture yourself standing with the creator of the entire universe who just so happens to call himself your father. That is glory. That is what I would picture as glory. All right, so we know that our suffering isn't for naught. You know, God has a plan. God promises us that it's temporary. But we need to be careful because it can be easy to lose steam even when we know this truth. It can be easy to lose hope, but we must remember what else this passage says. Now, in this hope we are saved, but hope that is not seen, but hope that is not seen is not hope, but because who hopes for what he sees? Now, if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it in patience. You know, Paul makes an excellent point here. We can't hope for something we already see. It doesn't make sense. How can you hope for something that you're already seeing? That is not hope. When we hope for the glory God has for us, we can't see it, touch it, or smell it. This is hope. Hope is the belief that something will happen through faith, not rationality. Thankfully, because God is so great, He has actually given us a living hope and support in our weakness. In Romans 8:26, in the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, because we do not know what to pray for as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with inexpressible groanings. There are many examples of God being with his people in the Bible, thinking Noah, Moses, Esther, just to name a few. But I believe the most significant example is the example of God being with his son, Jesus. Jesus suffered, yet God was with him. Jesus knew suffering. He knew normal, everyday suffering. He felt this when he wept at the death of his friend. He felt it when he knew his own disciple would betray him. He felt it when his father told him what he needed to do. Betrayal, heartbreak, loss, These are all very real things that we all experience. Jesus knows suffering. But despite this, despite all his pain and agony, he still trusted God. Ultimately, he died and took on the burden of this world so we could be here right now observing the ultimate example of trusting the Father in times of suffering. But the Lord did not waste Jesus' sufferings, and he does not waste yours. Jesus made a way for us to be easily forgiven by God. And what happened on the third day after Jesus died? Yeah, exactly. He rose up to be with the Father. In the end, Jesus was glorified. And God says that we too will be glorified in the end if we trust in him. Now, I can hear some of you, Josh, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what suffering is. It's not as easy as just trusting the Lord. And you're right. I don't know your suffering. But God does. Suffering isn't designed for comparison. It's a personal trial set amongst you and God. I'm fortunate enough to not have endured some types of suffering yet. You know, I haven't been through a world war, the Great Depression, or lost a parent. But the suffering I have been through, God has used to work in me. You see, when we talk about this topic, it's not about the amount of suffering or the type of suffering, it's how God uses it in you. I don't know how God chooses these trials for us, but I do know that suffering is a very real thing for everyone. And don't think God can't use you just because you don't suffer enough or because you suffer too much. It's not how he works. So what does this mean for us? How can we actually live this out? Well, there are two steps we can take here. And those are two steps I want to share with you today. And for starters, we can start by understanding where God wants us to be and what he wants us to do. We've already read verse 26 where it says that the Spirit helps us in our weakness because we don't know what to pray for. So let's start here. Step one, level with God. I know, this seems obvious, but time and time again, we see that in the face of pain, we alone stand no chance. In verse 27, it says, "And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." If we allow the Spirit, aka part of God, into our hearts, that he may intercede for us, that he may help us overcome and learn from our pain. So I encourage you to meet God where you are, to level with him. Ask him, "Lord, how can you use my suffering to glorify your kingdom? What can I learn from this?" This is just you being with God, honestly, wholeheartedly, nothing too crazy here, nothing too special. Anyone can do it. Now, my second and final step for you this morning is to accept the peace God has for you. Glenn just did an amazing sermon on community last week, and we saw that true community can help ease a burden. God is part of that community, and he offers us help and peace when we need it. Let's finish reading this last part of the message, shall we? "We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified." Now, I'm not saying that if you follow God, all your problems will disappear. We just spent 15 minutes talking about how real suffering is among Christians. But what I am saying is that God calls us to be with him, and when we are, we may more easily accept his help, and we will be glorified. I like this passage a lot because it doesn't just talk about the glory God has for us in heaven after death. It talks about the glory God may have for us in this life too. He simply asks, "Do you have the faith to follow me down this rocky road? It will be painful, but you will not be alone. So I urge you, when you find yourself being crushed by pain, despair, and emptiness, I urge you to remember that God has already won the battle. To remember his glory, though we may not understand God's plan at time, we must have faith that our present suffering cannot compare to the glory God is preparing for us. Would you close in prayer with me, please? Lord, I know we may not always understand your plan, but I pray that you would give us peace, that you would help us to understand that while suffering in the moment doesn't always feel good, that it can be used for the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.